Emily Elizabeth, and I'm the host of the What Fulfills You podcast, a show for and about individuals always seeking to be their best selves. On this show, we talk all about building the mindset, finding the right careers, creating meaningful relationships, and so much more. Welcome to the What Fulfills You podcast. Hello, hello, friends. Welcome back to another episode of What Fulfills You. My name is Emily Elizabeth. I'm your host. And on today's episode, we are diving into just all things building the life you dream of. And it's something I have been personally reflecting on myself. I think this has come about for me because I've been reflecting on my last couple of years living here in New York. It's been about 3.5 years, and it's something I dreamed about for a long time. And I think it really became a realistic dream in the sense of something I really wanted and was definitely making legitimate plans to make it happen. Probably early to mid 2020. That's when I knew, okay, I'm not just dreaming. This is definitely going to happen. It's just a matter of when and how. And this comes at a time as I am now moving out of the apartment I moved into when I moved to New York. And it's sentimental to me, which it was surprising at first, but I realized that when I moved to New York, I moved just with 2 suitcases and my duffel bag, and I flew from LA to New York on a red-eye flight. And it just happened so, like, in a snap of a finger. I didn't feel nervous. Like, I was ready. I was happy. And I was also sad about leaving LA because I really love that city. I really do. And there are elements of it that have certainly, you know, it's not a perfect city, but I love Southern California. It is and was a place that I've always wanted to spend at least a couple of years. And to be quite frank, I thought I was going to end up out there long term. Like, I didn't think that I was ever going to move back to the East Coast. And that's also not to say that it's still a closed door, that I wouldn't ever consider going back to LA or going back to Orange County or even San Diego. Who knows? That's a possibility. I know that I've always been naturally drawn to it, so it's never a closed off idea. But I do love the lifestyle in the Northeast. It is where I grew up, and I love New York especially too. I just love the energy here, and I know that perhaps, per the topic of this episode, perhaps what my dream life could look like is maybe I don't have to give up California as a whole. Maybe it's possible that I could build such life where I can spend a few months out of the year in Southern California. Maybe, right? In fact, when I moved to New York, my original idea was that eventually I would split time between LA and New York. That would be bi-coastal. And that's not a idea that I've forgotten about or that I have, you know, thrown away. But it also went down on my priority list. It's not something that I would say is a top priority in relation to what my dream life looks like. And so as I'm preparing to move into a new apartment and all the feelings that come with moving, I really just sat with myself over the past few weeks and thought about, how have you gotten here? I've been sitting in a place of gratitude. I've been sitting in reflection and also feeling nostalgic for my memories from graduating college, living on my own for the first time, moving to LA, moving to New York, now moving into a new apartment. And I realized that, gosh, I would have, once again, as how this podcast is curated, so many things that I not only have been able to take away from other people that came before me in their own life journey, but also I think about the things that I would like to know about my journey and some of the things that you guys share with me through responding to this podcast, through personal DMs on Instagram, on social media, which you guys are always welcome to reach out because I love your feedback. You guys share with me the things that you like to hear and the things that you have taken valuable. And I think sometimes the best thing that I can do is just to share with you how legitimately, like, my actual guideline as to how I'm living the life that I'm living now. And by the way, it's not to say that I feel in any shape or form that I have made it. I certainly don't feel that way, and I don't think I will ever feel that way. But I do feel happy and grounded in the fact that I'm healthy, that I like where I'm at, that I have incredible friendships, that I am grounded in myself to be healthily independent, to live on my own, to pay for my own cost of living. And I share that as I remember how it felt when I did have to rely on my parents when I was in college, you know, or even when I had part-time jobs in college. They were helping me pay for rent. They were helping me pay for school. You know what I mean? And whatever I was making in my part-time jobs, like, that's not going to cover all the bills. You know what I mean? So I say and share everything I'm sharing now in a place of gratitude, and also with the hopes that any of you that have curiosity in shifting your life in any way, or as this episode is focused on building the life you dream of, just know that there are others that have done different things along the way that have been able to get them to a point that they're at now. And I hope I can share something in that realm that is helpful to you. So I want to start with this focus on lifestyle. That is the first thing I wrote down when it came to a gentle start to building the life you dream of. When I reread my old writings and my journals, I specifically, and especially in the recent months, I've been going back to 2021. I've been going back to that year and 2020, but a lot of 2021. I have so many different things that I wrote down about my dream life and what that looks like. And I simplified it. I wrote it down in bullet notes. I wrote down how much my rent would cost. I wrote down where I lived. I wrote down what time I would wake up. I wrote down how my skin looks. I wrote down how, like, the way I'm glowing. I wrote down who I'm hanging out with. I wrote down the types of workouts I'm doing, all of it. And this is actually, interestingly, there's a very similar question in the What Fulfills You card game, which is around what does daily life look like? It's worded differently on the actual card game, but this is what I wrote down for this episode. What does daily life look like? What about it makes me look forward to it? What about my current life do I not enjoy? Why don't you sit with those questions for a little bit? Maybe even take this space to write that down in the notes app of your phone. Take a pause.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
I especially share the question, what about it makes me look forward to it? What about my current life makes me look forward to it? I say that because I recently overheard some people, women, in girl chats, talking about how certain vacations or trips is what makes them feel excited. It keeps them going on a day-to-day. And I don't blame them. I don't blame them. That is pretty typical for many of us. Just having something to look forward to escape from daily life, right? But did you ever consider, and it's most likely that you do because you're listening to this specific episode, but did you ever consider, what if you just enjoyed your daily life? What if you just loved it so much that every day you actually look forward to it? There's nothing to run from because you are in a steady, stable place. These were questions I gave myself back in 2020 and 2021. So how old was I? I was 23, 24 at the time, between those ages. And over the years, in thinking about those questions periodically, I used my answers as an anchor and foundation to what I would do differently. Because when you are able to not only take ownership over what you like and you don't like about your current life, not only once you do that, you can make a shift, but once you do that, you can also genuinely accept that place that you're in. And once you accept that place, then you can actually make changes. For example, up until late April 2021, I was working at a corporate job. I was in corporate sales. Mind you, I want to also add, even as an entrepreneur, even as a content creator, even as someone that works for herself and has her own businesses, I am so grateful for the year and a half that I worked at that job, not because of the job, although that was also incredible, but because of the people I met at that job that are still my friends today. So I met these people in 2019, and they're still my friends to this day. And funny enough, actually, all of them are men. They're guys that were on my sales team that lifted me up, that supported me, that were just great people. One of them recently got engaged. I will be going to his wedding, right? I love what I had at my job. And there are episodes I recorded in 2020, if you go back and listen, that I talk about how much I loved my job. But the sales skills that I was able to develop from that job too helped me a lot. But I knew by the end of April of that year, I knew I was called to move on from that chapter of my career. And I didn't enjoy it anymore. And I think what made a big difference too was working fully remote in that specific sales role, which I was originally in outside sales, meaning I would meet clients in person, I would prospect in person, I had a lot of interaction with my coworkers in person. So I didn't enjoy being fully remote in that line of work anymore. And mind you, we only went remote because of the pandemic, right? So that was the start of me shifting my lifestyle and building towards a life that I dream of. Now, as always, I want to always reiterate that you don't have to want to be an entrepreneur or someone that works for herself at all to have a dream life. You do not. This podcast is not curated for founders and entrepreneurs, although I know there's definitely a portion of you that are that, but I also know that there's a portion of you that aren't that. And to be fair, honestly, you guys, it's not made for everyone. I want to emphasize that when I talk about career on this podcast, I mean finding something that makes you feel like you are doing something bigger than just for yourself. Meaning having a job that only brings you money, that fulfillment lasts for a very short period of time. It's why a lot of people crash and burn in certain career sectors, right? There are lawyers that love what they do, and there are lawyers that hate what they do because it's so time consuming. And that's why my friend Ronnie, when he talked about this on the podcast nearly 2 years ago, he said, you have to be competitive in your field, meaning you are way better off being in an industry or field that you have natural curiosity about, even if you don't get paid a lot initially. You know why? Because the more interested you are in something, the more competitive you can be. Why? Because let's put it into fitness terms. Someone that is actually genuinely interested in fitness and wellness will last a lot longer and spend their free time indulging in fitness and wellness topics and aspects compared to someone that has very little interest in that. And what happens to the person that has genuine interest is they grow and scale faster, whether as an employee or whatever position they're in, right? So I just wanted to add that comment, which is, yes, my dream life for me is and was to create a foundation for my entrepreneurial journey. And so I did that. And I would say for those of you who know that you do well in working somewhere and having an employer, figure out through experience what you like and what you don't like. What are your values around how your manager treats you, or having coworkers, or having flexibility to work any hours you want, right? Again, that's like, those are the values I have for myself and my career. And those are the values I give to people that I work with, that I don't micromanage, that I don't check what time you're on your computer, none of that. And it's a huge privilege, because when I worked, and a lot of people will tell you that work in their corporate jobs or in other industries, there are managers that will check it depends on what you have, but like Slack or your Microsoft thing, sometimes it says you're idle, right? Or you're not online. And there are managers that will be like, where are you? You know, and that's the worst feeling. And so you got to figure out what it is. Like, I remember that moment for me vividly when I was sitting on my computer in the hotel room as my friends were getting ready. And two of us were working corporate sales at the time. We were in Miami visiting. And I remember I was thinking to myself, this is the last time I'm going to ask for PTO or ask for permission to travel somewhere or to be offline for certain hours, you know? That was for me where I knew that it was misaligned with my values, which is around autonomy and freedom of time. And I'm willing to sacrifice other things in order to have that because it's a higher value. Meaning, I'm okay with picking up my computer on a Sunday. Not everyone is okay with that. But for me, and this is great questions for yourself, which do you value more? I mean, again, mind you, I work for myself, so of course I will be on a lot, and that's okay. But I can also be in south of France whenever I want, because no one's going to tell me no. You know what I mean? So you figure out what that is for you. Figure out what's more important. And maybe if you are in this career rut right now, diving deep into those questions and writing down your answers and then taking a few days to look at what your answers are could be a great place to start to move out of that rut as you figure out career-wise what would be a better fit for you, especially in your current chapter. So when I think of my ideal day, which is, again, part of this question and part of the question on the card game, I wrote down, I'll give you guys kind of a breakdown of my ideal day because it's very realistic too. I wake up around 6 a.m. I play tennis from 7 to 9 a.m. or maybe it's another sport or just a workout. Again, it doesn't always, but just morning workout. But I love, that's my ideal day, tennis, 7 to 9. And then I will work from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. And then afterwards, around 7:30, I will have dinner with my partner or people I just love being around. So from like 7:30 to 9:30, it's dinner. And I will head home and wind down and relax around 10 p.m. and be asleep by 10:30. That is my ideal day. And it's so realistic. It is quite similar to what my current days look like right now. I will admit that, but I wrote about this before. I wrote about this and it slowly turned into this, you know? I think about the small details in this ideal day, right? And I share this out of transparency. Like, for example, when I look at play tennis, right, from 7 to 9 a.m., I think about, okay, Emily, like, is that free? Does it cost money? Because we're talking about lifestyle, right? So if I think about tennis and let's say I'm a member at a tennis club, how much does that membership cost? Or how much does it cost to rent a court, right? Like whatever that is. Or maybe I'm just playing on public courts, right? Like I have to ask myself what to, like so nitty gritty on the details. What does that look like? And where am I working from? You know, I think it would be, I would love to, I don't know, like I would kind of love to have my own little office someday. I think that would kind of be nice, like to physically go to an office, but I don't know, who knows? That would be a dream though, like a New York office. Oh, that'd be beautiful. And then I think about dinner, right? Dinner with my partner or people I love being around. Okay, what kind of dinner? Are we going to a nice place? What kind of food? Is it clean? Is it nice food? Can I afford it? Can my friends afford it? You know, what does that look like? I know a couple years ago back in college, I went to Nobu for the first time. And for those of you who don't know Nobu, it's just an upscale Japanese restaurant. It's great, great food. And I remember just thinking to myself, because we were in college, so we were much younger, but my first instinct was, I hope that one day I can get to a place where I can just pay for dinner for everyone. I would love that. I would really love that. it's something I've seen other people do. And I'll be actually honest, you guys. I think I grew up during an era where Kendall and Kylie Jenner were really on the up and up. And I remember growing up, watching them. I remember the first time I discovered them was when they were on the cover of Teen Vogue, actually. So I was probably 13 or 14 at the time. And I didn't know who the Kardashians were. I just remember seeing these two girls and I was like, wow, they are pretty. And as I watched them grow, because Kylie's my age, I remember thinking, wow, I could be like them too. I could be like them in the sense of I could have my own thing. I could be my own person. I remember like I would see these, I don't know, photos or videos of them at, I don't know, clubs and stuff. And I would see them at these tables. And I remember just thinking, oh, how powerful it is for them and for oneself. Again, guys, this is just my preference, but they can go and buy a table, right, at these clubs. And that's usually minimum couple grand, you know? And I just found that so empowering. Not that that's what I want to do, but I'm pointing out that it's empowering that one can cover the bill for everyone or one can just afford to take control of one's own life versus having only the option of relying on someone else to do that, right? So anyways, I share that as I think about, what does dinner look like? Could I take some people out? Am I going to dinner with other female entrepreneurs or alike? Yeah, I don't know, just small things like that. And I think about other aspects of lifestyle, flexibility options. So for me, again, kind of going back to that example I shared earlier when I was in Miami and telling myself that was going to be the last time I would ask and request for paid time off. Or I don't even think I did paid time off, actually. I think I just requested for them to allow me to work in a different time zone. But I wrote down that I would love to be able to travel whenever, especially during winter and summer. I wrote down questions like, how do I afford this? How much am I making to have the freedom and autonomy over my time? Let's say I want to split time between two cities, whether that's LA and New York, New York and Paris, maybe New York and Florida, right? Okay, if that's a part of my dream lifestyle, how? How does one afford that? What does that look like? What does the cost of living look like? And you know, the fascinating aspect to that, an exercise I did after reading the 4-Hour Work Week from Tim Ferriss, is that when you actually write down to the dollar of what your dream life looks like, you'll actually learn that you aren't as far off as you may think. It is not as expensive as you may think. Just something to consider, maybe an exercise you could do for yourself. And another part of the lifestyle I wrote down here is quality of home and environment. This one's so important to me. It's one of the reasons why I actually am willing to spend money on my rent and whatever my home looks like, because that to me is not only my top value when it comes to where I spend my money, but it does impact me the most mentally. So what does it look and feel like? Is it modern? Is it a high rise or is it a home? What does my home look like? And yeah, most importantly, what does it feel like? And when I write all of my thoughts on that, it helps give me a more clear picture as to what I'm actually working towards, what this big picture vision is. And a lot of times you'll end up with a couple things to work with. And from my experience, you kind of just have to pick one specific area of your life and focus on that and then work through the other ones. And I think that I really started with my personal finances, especially, yeah, when I was starting my own agency, when I started working for myself, I knew that I needed to actually, I'm thinking back to my life, like back then, a couple years ago, like I really knew that I had to actually start to build my finances. I wanted to have the flexibility and the autonomy. Okay, well, as I would tell myself, shit ain't free, Emily. You know, you want to have a quality home, some modern amenities, or, you know, nicer like kitchen cabinets and shit. Well, Emily, this is me talking to myself in a fun way. You gotta figure out how to get that then, right? And here's the alternative. I don't have to live in New York. I don't have to live in an expensive city. I don't have to want a crazy quality home. You know, like I don't have to want that, but I do. And so just always keep in mind that you have two options. You can either not have the desire in itself and you could just keep what you have or want something less, or you can honor the things that you do want and are realistic for you and figure out, okay, what would get you from current point, point A, to point B. The last thing I want to touch on in this theme of building the life you dream of is having the willingness to create a time for focus. For example, a lot of times in the summer or just different seasons, people will take their foot off the gas, so to speak, and maybe they get into summer mode or relaxing mode or going to the beach mode, and those are incredible things, right? Like, trust me, I would love to spend a whole month in Europe over the summer. I mean, everyone and their mother goes to Europe during the summer, right? And I don't blame them. Who doesn't want a vacation in Mallorca or south of France or Amalfi Coast or Dubrovnik or, I don't know, just anywhere where the ocean is so beautiful, right? In Europe, and everything is just so quiet and relaxing. And to my Europeans out there, you guys do summers great, right? And I know a lot of us in the US, for those of you who really love your summer vacations, you know that feeling too. Whether you go to Europe or not, maybe it's just somewhere else. But regardless, the summer, people often take summer trips, right? But in building the life you dream of, it comes with sacrifice. It comes with sacrifice for seasons. It also comes with mini sacrifices. Like, you don't have to sacrifice a certain amount of things or amount of time. Like, for example, when I talked about this at my university at Chapman 2 months ago, someone asked me how I don't get burnt out as an entrepreneur. And I tell them, well, I don't get burnt out because I still make time for the things that matter to me and fill my cup and add value in other ways that some others might not see it. So me making time to get dinner with some of my best girlfriends is a way of keeping myself fulfilled and investing in Emily. It's for me. It's selfishly for myself, right? And it is me putting focus into me. Now, what wouldn't be putting focus into me would be doing something like, okay, like, let's say excessive traveling during a period that I could be more selective because I'm in a stage of focus. So if you recognize that you want to really start to build towards a life that you have been dreaming of, and you recognize that you need a period of focus, which is also where I'm at right now. Like, I need a period of focus. And I think over the past year, or I'd say like 9-8 months, I've been less travel inclined compared to the previous year. And I have been just on my shit, for the lack of better words. But that being said, you don't want to fully deprive yourself, you know? Like, I'm not extreme. I was saying into that class, I don't get burnt out because I'm not approaching my career and my entrepreneurship journey like I'm Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos. And I don't want to be Elon Musk. I didn't get into the business of creating companies like Elon Musk and having his lifestyle. I don't want his lifestyle. I want to actually have a well-rounded life, to have a life that is impactful, to have a life that feels like Emily. You know, like, there's no way, there's no logical way to describe it. But to each of you listening, you know what it feels like to feel like, this is it. You start to nod your head. You're like, yeah, you just, that feels like you. And I've had moments, even when I was in south of France last year by myself, I remember feeling like, this is me. This feels like me. And yeah, where I'm going with that is, if you're in this place right now, think about how you're going to create a chapter for focus for yourself. So, okay, let's say you typically travel once during the summer. Are you willing to scale back this summer and put in extra time into whatever it is that you're working on or building towards. Or let's say you typically vacation a lot over the summer. Okay. Let's say, are you willing to sacrifice and scale it back to only going on one specific vacation, right, this summer? I don't know. I'm just giving ideas of, it doesn't have to be extreme. It doesn't have to be completely going to zero. But it could also just simply look like, I'm going to create time for focus in XYZ, and I'm going to then scale back on this XYZ. But like, that doesn't mean you take it away fully. And it could just last for a quarter. It could last for 6 months. It could last for 8 months. It could last for a year, right? It doesn't have to be like this ongoing, oh, I'm giving up everything to like build my dream life, right? But again, the sacrifices help you. They might make you feel like you're going slow right now, but then they propel you later on. And I remember vividly how that felt when I did that back in 2017, when I really just put my head down and focused on myself. I focused on building my then business. It was a skating dress business. And I just took on the skills I needed to have a business and where I'm at now, you know, just the practice skills, building my muscle. This is when I was in college. So this is me reiterating, it is not an overnight process. You learn, you put in the work, and you just grow along the way as you're growing. And so in my case, like this summer, like I said, I'll put less focus on traveling and put more time into my grind, making sure I am moving the needle forward. That's not to say I won't enjoy and splurge for myself and treat myself, but that also probably means like I'm not going to nonchalantly be like, oh, let's book a trip. It's probably going to be more intentional where, okay, for the next 8 weeks, I'm going to sprint. And then for a week after, I will indulge in a getaway, something to kind of reset, you know? And then maybe I'll do that again. Because I like to travel during the summer too, because it is hotter in New York. So I don't mind being away from the city. During the fall, I love being here. So that's when I take more time to stay in the city. But yeah, I think that's probably my approach. Rewarding myself after sprints. Maybe that's something you could do too. I call them sprints, but you know, it's just basically putting your head down for, I don't know, a certain set amount of time and then taking a breather at the end of the sprint. And if you don't know where to begin, ask yourself, what are your priorities, right? What are my priorities? What is most important to me in this current chapter? And that's going to look different from your friends. That's going to look different from what your parents might tell you. That's going to look different from me. But only you have the answer to that. Only you have the answer to what your priorities are. And if your priorities are around your personal finances, getting better at investing your money, saving your money, then take what comes with that, right? Or if your priorities are around your health, feeling better internally, looking better in your physique, if that's the case, how are your decisions and your actions going to reflect in those priorities that you claim are priorities, right? And that's your own journey. And I will just add to wrap this up that it doesn't hurt to invest in a therapist and or a coach of some sorts. I love having this myself. I started back in, I want to say 2021. I started at that time in my life because a great friend of mine, he was on the podcast, Ronnie, he said to me that he does it. He recommended it to me. And he told me, you know, you don't have to do it all the time. You can go, kind of going back to sprinting, you can do 3 months of a sprint and then take your foot off the gas for another 3 months, you know? I did go once a week for a couple of months. I definitely did that. And I did that through BetterHelp, not sponsored. I wish, but I did go through BetterHelp for a while. And then I took a period of a break from therapy. And then I went back to it after like 5 months. And I decided I wanted to go in person. I remember I was telling my friend this. I was telling her, I'm on the hunt for a male therapist. I want a male therapist. I want someone that's kind of like a coach. Someone that's not as, I don't want, you know, the soft, you know, this and that. I want someone to be more practical with me. I want someone that can be more logical with me. And I also knew that I wanted someone with experience in working with high performers, because I come from a background as a former competitive athlete, and it can feel really lonely sometimes to not feel understood on that level. And so lo and behold, I ended up finding a therapist that fit all three. I found him pretty fast, actually. And I remember when I saw his background and how he worked with Team USA athletes and was actually formerly on the Team USA, like Winter Olympic, I forget. He was just on their board of some sorts. Anyways, I just remember thinking, he gets it. This is the one. So fast forward, I've been working with him for a little over 2.5 years. And I don't go every week. I did that for maybe 4 months when I first started working with him. And then I scaled back. And I went like once every other week. And then I did once a month. And then at one point I did... Yeah, actually, basically, it's what I do now. It's basically an as-needed basis. But I typically do the as-needed basis probably once every 4 to 5 weeks. Sometimes 3. Just depends. But I think it's a great cadence. And I think it's also nice to know that if you want to scale back on therapy or coaching, whatever, you can. You don't have to go every week. And you could also start out every other week too. You know, you don't have to do whatever you think is the norm. Like this is made for you. So you gotta pick what's best for you. And all I can say is sometimes having an outside third party that is super removed from your life and getting objective opinion and guidance of some sort, sometimes, and maybe I should say oftentimes, especially when you have a good one, it can be really, really helpful and grounding in providing clarity when you are feeling fuzzy or stuck. And remember, you don't have to do it for a long period of time, but you'd be surprised. You might think, oh, I'm chilling, I'm doing just fine. And you go into therapy for the first time and you're like, oh, maybe there are some things I could explore here, right? So I always say that as a helpful tool in case you want additional help in your journey to taking ownership of your life and the direction that you are going in. I hope this episode was helpful and that you had some takeaways. As always, if you enjoyed this solo episode, please be sure to let me know. DM me on Instagram. I love it when you guys send me messages and give me feedback. I'm always open to critical feedback, you guys, by the way. Anything that comes to mind, I'm so open to it. So just let me know. And I also, of course, love the positivity as well. So let me know if there's any topics that have been super impactful for you. Anything. I love it. And if you could take a few minutes to rate and review the podcast on Apple or Spotify, that would be amazing. And as always, all of the merch, the card game, as I talked about on this episode, is available at whatfulfillsyou.com. And listeners get 10% off with the code whatfulfillsyou10. Everything is linked in the show notes. Thanks again for tuning in. I will chat with y'all